الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. After the battle of Uhud, the first battle that had taken place was the battle of the Banu Nadir. The Banu Nadir was the second Jewish tribe that had broken their treatment, that had broken their treaty and their agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the fourth year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought against them and banished them from Medina Munawwara. The details of this battle are discussed with the Battle of Trench, with the Battle of Ahzab, and alhamdulillah we've already discussed the details of it, because this battle became the catalyst and became the reason for the Battle of the Trench. Many ayat of the Quran and Majid were revealed also regarding the Battle of the Banu Nadir. Thereafter, in the month of Jumad al-Ula, the fourth year after Hijrah, the battle and the Ghazwa of Dhatul Riqa had taken place. There are many different views with regards to the date of the occurrence of this battle. Some of the muhaddithin and the historians have mentioned it much later. However, Ibn Ishaq rahimullah and many historians are of the opinion that it had taken place in Jumad al-Ula, the fourth year after Hijrah. This Ghazwa was known as Dhatul Riqa. Riqa means pieces of cloth, rags. So the one of rags. So with regards to the reason for the name, some say that it was the name of the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to. Some say that the tree or the trees in that area were known as Dhatul Riqa. However, Abu Musa radiallahu an, in a narration of Sahih Bukhari, he explains that we came out with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an expedition, and some of us were such that we did not have, because of the lack of conveyances, six of us were sharing one conveyance. So one sahabi would ride, then he will come down, and the next one will ascend and mount the conveyance, and like this, six of us would take turns on one conveyance. And he says, because of us walking for so long, and because of the terrain, he says, our feet began to crack. And وَسَقَطَتْ أَذْفَارِ, my toenails even fell off. And because of these wounds, he says that we began to wrap our legs with pieces of cloth. Therefore, this battle was known as Dhatul Riqa. After explaining this, an amazing point, Abu Musa radiallahu anhu thereafter said, مَا كُنْتُ أَصْنَعُ بِأَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. What will I get in mentioning this? What will I get out of mentioning this? The muhaddithin explain that after mentioning what happened, after mentioning the qurbani and the sacrifice that he underwent for deen, then Abu Musa radiallahu anhu began to think to himself that it should not be that this goes against ikhlas, and that I will lose the reward of the qurbani and sacrifice that I made because of me mentioning the sacrifice that I made. So the important lesson of ikhlas and not exposing the good that we do. Obviously, sometimes for lesson purposes, when we come back from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to give a karguzari, and it's important that we relate what happened. But at the same time, we need to be very, very careful that we should not say things which will go against ikhlas and which will cause us to lose the thawab that we had acquired. So this was the reason, most probably, that this battle was called Dhatul Riqa, because of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum tying these pieces of cloth on their feet. The reason for this battle was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received information that the Banu Muharib and the Banu Tha'laba tribe, who were both part of the Ghatafan, they have prepared to fight against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are preparing an army, gathering their people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after obviously Whenever the information came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi would make the necessary investigation, and once it was confirmed, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Uthman radiallahu anhu over Madina Munawwara, and with 40 sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Madina Munawwara. When he reached the area of these people, he found that the men had gone away, and there were only women that were left. So they took many of the women as captives, and among these women, there was one young woman that was very good looking. So she was also taken as captive. There'll be an incident relating to this woman a little later that we will discuss. So nevertheless, she was also taken as captive. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encountered a group of the enemy, and they were very, very close. Both the armies were very close. And it was a very tense situation. There was a lot of fear at that time. The mushrikeen, the enemies, they spoke. It was the time of Zuhr. So they speak among themselves, thinking when they should launch the attack. So they say, دَعُوهُمْ فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ صَلَاةً بَعْدَ هَذِهِ هِيَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَبْنَائِهِمْ. Leave them now. Don't attack them now. Because after this salah, after Zuhr, there's another salah that will come that is more beloved to them than their own children. The salah of Asr, which is a very important salah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically speaks about As-salatul wusta in the Quran Majeed, safeguarding the Asr salah. So that salah is going to come. When that salah comes, then we will launch an attack against them. So there was a lot of fear at that time, at the time of Asr, that the enemy will launch an attack. But salah had to be performed. And obviously, every sahabi wanted to perform salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one wanted to lose the privilege of performing salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was on this occasion that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down explaining the manner of Salatul Khawf. Salatul Khawf is spoken about in the fifth juz of the Quran Majeed. Allah explains this, the details of Salatul Khawf, when there is very intense fear and salah needs to be performed. And like in this situation where both groups will want to perform salah behind the same imam, behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they will be made into two groups, and one group will perform one rakat with the imam and one rakat on their own. And then while the other group will be facing the enemy and guarding against the enemy, and thereafter the other group will come and perform one rakat behind the imam and one rakat on their own. Obviously the details are lengthy, which are mentioned in the books of fiqh. So this Salatul Khawf was revealed on this occasion. This explains the importance of salah, that even in such a situation of intense fear, that salah will be performed, and it will be performed with jamaat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a manner, a special manner of performing salah during such an instance. After the battle was over, the husband of that very good looking young woman who was out, he was gone out for some reason, he came back and he realizes that his wife has been taken as captive. So he had very intense love for his wife, and when he was informed of this, he took an oath that he will definitely free his wife, or he will spill some blood of the Muslims. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum departed, and this person now was informed, he began to pursue them. And it was nightfall, so they stopped over for the night. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understanding that there is a threat, he says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Man rajulun yakla'una laylatana, that who will stand guard tonight? Who will guard us? Who will protect us tonight? Here we understand again that security is also part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, appointing people to take care of the security so that others can rest. They can be at ease. This was also part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So two sahaba radiallahu anhum volunteered. One Ansari sahabi, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu an, and a muhajir, Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma, both of them volunteered to stand security that night. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appoints them at the entrance of the valley. So they were resting and they were camped in a valley. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, at the entrance of the valley, from where the threat could come, from where the danger could come, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to stand guard there. The two sahaba, when they go to the spot, Now they discuss among themselves. The Ansari Sahabi says to the Muhajir, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu, says to Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma, that which part of the night will you stay awake and which part of the night should I stay awake? So Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma says that I will sleep in the first half of the night, and in the second half of the night I will wake up and then I will guard. So he agreed to this arrangement. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhuma goes to sleep. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu, he has to stand guard. It's a long night. What should he do? Instead of wasting time, the attachment that they had to ibadat was such that he started his salah. He started his salah that I have to guard. I will be aware of what's going on in my surroundings and I will perform salah. So my night will be used for a good cause as well. Obviously, I am guarding and I'm receiving a lot of thawab for that. But in this also, I will utilize my time in salah. Understand the importance of ibadat in the life of a believer. So as he is performing salah, that person comes, the husband of that young woman, he comes and he sees Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu. He realizes that this is the guard. So he fires one arrow towards him. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu is struck with that arrow. He was so engrossed in his salah, he removed that arrow and he continued to perform his salah. Then he struck him with a second arrow. He removes the second arrow again and he continues with his salah. And then he strikes him for the third time. A third arrow hits him. Now on this occasion, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu now wakes Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu up and he says to him that I have been struck, wake up. So when this happens, that person realizes that now they are aware that there's someone nearby, so he runs away. So Ammar radiallahu anhu, when he sees the blood coming out and he sees how he has been wounded, three arrows he was struck with. On this point, we should understand that according to the Hanafi madhab, blood coming out from the body will break salah. So with regards to this incident, there are many proofs for that, etc. We're not going into the fiqh discussion, but with regards to this incident, and the ulama say, and as we will hear from the answer of Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu, when Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu told him, why didn't you wake me up on the first occasion when you were struck for the first time? So Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu says, كُنْتُ فِي سُورَةٍ أَقْرَأُهَا فَلَمْ أُحِبَّ أَنْ أَقْطَعَهَا حَتَّى أُنْفِذَهَا. I was reciting a surah of the Quran. He was reciting Suratul Kahf. And he was so engrossed in the recitation of Suratul Kahf. So to a certain extent, he was oblivious of what he was doing. He was oblivious of his surroundings. He was so engrossed in the surah of the Quran al-Majid, he says that I did not want to stop the surah until I complete the surah. How can I complete the surah? How can I break the recitation of the surah? I wanted to complete the surah. So this does not become a proof. Rather, this was a special situation. The sahabi was so engrossed in the tilawat of the Quran al-Majid and in salah, that he did not even perhaps realize that I'm supposed to be breaking my salah, or my salah has broken because of this blood coming out from my body. Nevertheless, then he goes on to say, after saying that I was so engrossed in this tilawat, and here we understand also that the engrossment that sahaba radiallahu anhum had when reciting the Quran al-Majid, and how connected they were to the Quran al-Majid, that my life can go also. He goes on to say, the only reason why I woke you up now on the third occasion is I feared that I will be shirking in my responsibility that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has charged me with, to ensure that no one attacks the enemy. If I continued in my salah and I passed away, you will be sleeping, there will be no one standing guard. And that responsibility that Rasulullah ﷺ gave me, I would have not fulfilled that responsibility. Therefore, I woke you up. Not because of the pain, not because of my situation. He goes on to say, if it was not for this, then my life would have come out also, but I would have not woken you up. I would have completed the recitation of the surah. So this incident had occurred when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from Dhatul Liqa. Another name that has been given to this battle is Ghazwatul A'ajib. The Ghazwa, the battle of astonishing things, of amazing things. Because there were many astonishing incidents and amazing incidents and strange things and signs that were seen during this battle. Very quickly to go through a few. One was a similar incident to what was discussed before, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting. It was the time of Qailula, a time of the afternoon nap or the siesta, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting under a tree. It was a valley where there were a lot of thorny trees. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had scattered in different under different trees. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under one tree and resting. His sword was hanging on the tree. So one kafir by the name of Ghawrath, he came. He takes the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, "May yamna'uka minni," that who is going to protect you from me? Three times he says this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with full yaqeen, with full conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely calm. Obviously this composure at this kind of a situation comes from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is largely dependent on the level of yaqeen that a person has. So with full yaqeen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, "Allah, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will protect me." Thereafter, the sword fell off from the hands of this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the sword and then he asks him the question, "May yamna'uka minni," who will protect you from me? He says, "Kun khayra akhidh," that deal with me in a good way, deal with me in a nice way. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that bring iman. He says, "No, I won't bring iman. However, I take an oath that I will not fight against you and I will not assist anyone against you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the compassionate heart that he had, few moments ago, this person wanted to take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him. When he goes back to his people, although he did not bring iman, he went back with a positive message regarding the Muslims and regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, "Ji'tukum min indi khayrin nas," I have come to you from the best of people. So this is another important lesson that we learn, that when we show compassion to others, they may be disbelievers, they may be kuffar, although they may not accept iman, bring iman, because of our good works, because of our humanitarian works, however, it does not mean that it doesn't have a positive impact. It has a positive impact many a times. They have good thoughts regarding the Muslims. And inshallah, one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless them with hidayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with accepting, with bringing iman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forgiven this person. Although this incident is very similar to the incident that was mentioned in another battle, most of the historians are of the opinion and the muhaddithin are of the opinion that these were two separate incidents that had taken place. Two similar incidents, but separate incidents had taken place during different battles. In the previous one, that person had brought iman. In this incident, this person did not bring iman. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.